Peace and blessings to you. Are you looking for a place to express your concerns, your anger, what's going on in your community and your family? Well, Breaking Chains is the podcast. It's all about letting the world know that enough is enough, and it's time for you to speak up and speak out. Join us nightly, and let's break some chains by using your voice to express the concerns you have about the issues that are affecting our people, mankind, and our world as a whole. Get involved, and let's break some chains.
It's History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp.
Do you know your history?
And I go back into some other things with the origin of man.
Do you know who you are?
Class is in. It's time for Breaking Chains and History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp.
What you learned, has it been a lie?
So turn the broadcast up and let's break chains in our history.
It's History Talk. Yeah, History Talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a very beautiful moment right now. We got a very special guest with us here today, Kenny K. Love the Dream, you know what I mean? And he's going to bless us with what God has given him, you know what I'm saying? Wave your hands in the air. Hey, if God has brought you out of anything, sing along with us today.
Oh, Lord, you've been good to me.
I can't see you
just by my side and kept me safe.
History Talk Podcast with the Pastor Dr. Lavert Kemp and the UTS students. Get ready. Get your pens and paper ready. Open up your minds to study and listen and learn. Bring it to the mic. God bless and good evening, Dr. Kemp.
Good evening and God bless each and every one. It's always a both honor and a privilege to have an opportunity to share our present history. I've always was told that history is anything that happened 1 second ago. Anything that just passed is history. The Bible says yesterday is gone and tomorrow have not come. So what happened yesterday is truly history to us today. Well, we're going through something that's very historical right this very present moment. And I've noticed that the things that's going on in history have a real reflection on the past. And I was just so amazed but also upset with our president who is not telling the truth. I was looking over some research from how many Palestinians who have been killed over a 75-year period of time, knowing that in 1948 it was called British Palestine. And others, long before the so-called Jews or the people that they brought in from Eastern Europe, the Eastern Europeans they brought in who say that they wanted it for their homeland. Because if you would go back, even just go back for some years, in 1903, they were the British people, the Britons, rather, wanted to give Uganda some land in Uganda to the people that say that they are Zion Jews. And you could go back, they were dealing with Theodore Herzl, who was the first Zionist in the Congress base. It was based in Switzerland. You know, he founded his support in Great Britain in 1903. Like I say, the first place in 1903 they wanted to give them was Uganda, but they did not want to settle in Uganda. They wanted to go into what they call the Holy Land today, and they wanted that for a homeland, knowing that even they didn't have the bloodline to be in North Africa, because it was noted up until World War II as North Africa, and even before that it was noted as North Africa because the Suez Canal had not been built until the end of the 1800s. And then that divided the land, Africa, and it's always, it wasn't really the Middle East, it was called North Africa. The Middle East and Africa was land that was tied together and on the same tectonic plate, meaning that they were the same continent. But it was just when people came in, who came in and conquered. I thought about when I listened at our president, President Biden. I've been calling him the little beady-eyed man lately. Little beady-eyed, half-dead man, which I call him that, and God have to forgive me for calling him those words. But I hear him as he talk about the Jews need to stand up for themselves. Well, first of all, the people that's over there are really from Eastern Europeans who they took land from the Palestinians and gave them land. And from that point on, they've been killing and taking more and more land. Now, I just to throw something at you guys tonight, it would be something if someone would come to your house and take your house from you and then tell you you have to sleep in the backyard and then tell you you can't sleep in the backyard. And if you fight back, other countries or nations say that the same one that took your country, your land from you, are in the right. And that's what's going over there now. They're saying that the Jews have a right to that land, although the Palestinians have been there thousands of years, and these people haven't been there not even 100 years, 75, 76 years at the most. And that's truly what's going on. And from that, we find that Even America, the Native Americans, I was looking at Facebook one day, and they were talking to some Native Americans about selling them the land, and they said they didn't want to sell it. And they said, well, we're going to move you guys to some other place that they didn't want to be moved. And what they were saying was, how can you sell me my own land? How can you make me move, and you're the stranger in my country? But all this evil that America and Great Britain and France and Germany and all, because many of us don't understand that what happened even with Africa. And you will find out that they met in Germany. It's called the Berlin Conference. In the late 1800s, and they divided Africa up in between the European states, Britain, the Dutch, the Spanish, the French, the Germans, the Portuguese. All of them carved it up and took it for themselves because they knew it was the richest continent. So tell me who's evil when you could go in and kill people and take their country from them. King Leopold killed over 20 million people, but I don't hear anybody talk about a Holocaust. I know that he talked about the Holocaust. It should never happen again. More people died during the slave trade than during the Holocaust. More people died on American soil that were kidnapped than the Holocaust. And I would submit to you that I've been hearing over and over on the news and all over that blacks are told we need to, that was the past, we need to get over it. But I have yet to hear anyone tell a so-called Jewish person from the Holocaust that they need to get over it, and fewer of those died than African Americans, which were kidnapped and brought to a country that they didn't want to come to. And then they have this was always said, you need to go back to where you come from. Well, if that's so, the Native Americans say they could tell them they need to go back where they come from. And don't you know that there were more slaves here than Europeans at one time? The influx of people coming in from Europe came in the early 1900s. They came through Ellis Island and other places. And so when we study these things and know these things, and we realize just how evil, even our government, that we have this thing, America is the land of the free and the home of the brave. And I think about all the wars that our people have fought in. But yet we're still second-rate citizens. I see that the little beady-eyed president that we have, his track record is not that good dealing with blacks in his past. But then we have the lesser of two evils. It's like dealing with Satan and one of his imps. Both of them are evil. Trump is just a little more evil than Biden. Biden have taken up for Netanyahu and others about the Jews need to defend themselves. And I wonder, do they ever think about who land that really is, that they should be able to defend themselves? And all the people are doing is fighting back for their own country. But then Americans are standing up saying, we have to help Israel. Well, first of all, they're not Israel. Second of all, you could call yourself Jew or Jewish. That just means that you worship or you worship Judaism. And you could deal with the first five books of the Bible. The Pentateuch. Pentateuch means five. That's the first five books with the law. And a lot of those things that we go by even to this very day, that we look up to, and the way that we take on our religious belief, we need to even take some of that into consideration. because there are nowhere the real people on earth. Now, I want to say this, and I want us to understand this good. Okay, Semitic people is a group of language including Hebrew and Arabic, as well as the people who traditionally speak Ham, Son, Shem. And, you know, they say they came from Mesopotamia to the west coast, to the Mediterranean, to the Arabian Peninsula, and to the Horn of Africa. That's just Semitic people. And I wonder why they call a person that don't look at the Jews or the people that speak the Yiddish that came from Europe, they're not the real so-called, if they want to say, the real Israelites. Example of Semitic is people of Semitic is an obsolete term. Now this is the way they write it. It's an obsolete term for ethnic culture, a race or group associated with people of the Middle East. Now they say including Arab, now they have Jews. Okay? Arcadic, Phoenician. Phoenician were black. Now what I want you to understand is they have been, Webster Dictionary have doctored these definitions because the term Jew is only 1,000 years old. It shouldn't be in our Holy Bible. And again, before 1948, Israel was called British Palestine before they ever came into that country. And Palestine became a little state on May the 14th, 1948. So all this stuff that you see going in and things like that, and when they're talking about President Netanyahu, they call him a Zionist. And the Zionist nation is very, 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 very violent. And it's something scary. They're advocating for this homeland, and they're taking someone else's country for them a homeland. They don't have a homeland. The people in Europe run them off, and they don't have that homeland. Again, I would like to say to you today that Abraham's ancestors, and the real Jew was Abraham, came from Ur the Chaldees, from where the Assyrians came from, which was called the black-headed people, about 2,400 years before Christ, or 4,400 years ago. And the people that lived there during that time were really, they were East Africans, dealing Northeast Africans, because in Ur the Chaldees of Mesopotamia, that was an Ethiopian civilization at that time, where Abraham came from. Also, biblically, it was the land of Nimrod. But now we see all of this, and all these people are dying over and over again, all because someone aligned and say that they belong there. Now, they are trying to say that they are the original Hebrew. But I would admit to you that the Bible dictionary say that Ham is the progenitor of the dark race, and he said about the Egyptians, Ethiopians, Egyptians, Libyans, and the Canaanites. Okay, it was first called the land of Canaan before the Philistines came in there, or the Palestinians. Now, but I want you just to understand this. In the book of Acts, in the 21st chapter and the 28th verse, the Romans told Paul that they thought he was the Egyptian that led 4,000 men in the wilderness, you know, to raid and to kill some people, okay? How could he be thought of as the Egyptian when they were black, unless he was black? How can Moses pass for one when they say Ham is the progenitor of the dark race? How did Moses, how did Joseph pass from unless they were black? It's so much that we could go into that by the Igbo people or the Igbo people of Nigeria who have a claim to be the true tribe from the tribe of Israel. The Limba people have had their DNA tested and say that they are from the tribe of Israel. The Ethiopians say, have know that they are from the tribe of Dan, and they call themselves Phylacia, Beta of Israel. And it was even Haile Selassie who called himself the Lion of the tribe of Judah and Yehuda, and that spoke of direct descendants of Jesus Christ. They know who they are. And I want to let you know that the people over in those areas of the country, they know who they are. And I want you to understand that the people over there now and the different religions that we have did not come from white folk. They were not over there at that period of time. And so I want to just kind of bring us up to date what's going on. And we have our ex-president who, before he ran it, you know, they're meeting Coke with him going on this porn star who he was buying prostituting with, and cassette and all the testimonies they've had against him. He's still sitting there saying he didn't do anything. And all the money that he spent and everything have been corroborated against him. And what's ironic about this is that there are so many people right in America today willing to vote for this demagogue, this pervert, this man who has no regard for women at all, still willing to vote for him and bag him. Although I also have to say that then he don't care for the African-American race. And I don't believe Joe Biden have that much love either. But it just been the fact that as African-Americans, and only making up about 14% of America's population, about 40-some-odd million, that we have to vote for the lesser to evil. For America, population is around 330 million Americans. And so we don't make up that much of the population. I hear oftentimes we want to say about what we need to do as a group. What we need to do is learn to stick together, grow our own food, and purchase from one another. And that's the only way we ever be able to really, really make it in this society in which we live in today. Now, I want us to think very closely about the fact that all the books that they've been taking out of libraries, yes, they want to say that it has something to do with homosexuality and the different things they don't want taught in the schools. And that's good. There are certain things I don't think that should be taught at a certain level. And certain things that as me being a Christian, and I can't tell others what to think because I choose to follow the teachings of the Bible and of Christ. Because that's the only standard I have is going by that. But I also have to understand, too, that the Bible was translated and transliterated by some evil people like Constantine and King James and things in Rome, who at the beginning of King James' interpretation, he had started the slave trade, and that's why I see in different parts of the New Testament says, honor your master. But in the earliest part of the Bible, in Exodus 21 and 16, it says that if a man buy another man or sell another, well, kidnap him and sell him, that man should surely die. Well, all the plantation owners and others that went over and kidnapped, some preachers, others, or other people, and brought them over to the America, they should be put to death if they really believed in Judaism. And those who call themselves Jews today did pay a responsibility for the slave trade. The boats were financed through their banks, and even to this very day, the money that was used to buy slaves came from a whole lot of Jewish banks. That's something that most of us don't know, right here in America. But when I think about things and I think about all the things that they don't want us to know and that they're praying that we don't learn exactly who we are and that we don't learn our genetic makeup, we see it every day. I was reading about the lady, a young lady, and she's a great basketball player, Kathleen Clark. And they said that the reason why, to show how racist the WNBA, the Women National Basketball Association, they had her first basketball game, and that lady, Miss Cordova and Miss Reese, both of them, between the two of them, are three national champions. Yet Kathleen Clark don't have one championship. She have lost every time that she did, that she came forth. But her and then both of these ladies went first round. But when they got to telefy the game, it's always been Caucasian. And that's a shame that it goes that way. But blacks and others are so used to seeing things go that way. You get a Caucasian player that's a decent player, and they make them be something that they're not. One lady, I looked at a response. She said that, you know, that if you go to Facebook or TikTok, if you go to who have the most followers, that Kathleen, and that's not true. Reese have more than double what she have, double plus some more than what she had. I think she had a little over a million, two or three hundred followers. And Angela Reese had 2.7. She had 1. Clark had 1.2 million, but Angel Reese had 2.7 million, more than double what she had. But the response is, when you show the inequalities, people say you're always playing the race card. Or you express the truth. They've come up with pickleball now because blacks are taking over tennis. Cornholing, throwing a little sack in a hole. They have every new game come up that you want to know so they could be a champ. But as long as the game go on, blacks get into it and take over everything that they have. And we ask the question, how is it that we can do this? But, you know, you are the original. And from the original, everything else is mutation. And as long as when you start getting mutation, the mutation lack different genes, and that they mean that they are not what you are. They come from recessive, not dominant genes. Black come from dominant genes. Caucasian come from a recessive gene, meaning they're a mutation of you. And I always go back and I try to explain to you about the oldest fossils that they find come from Africa, like Lucy, who's 3.2 million years old. And she was found right around where they said the Garden of Eden, about now that one river flowed out of and watered the garden, and it came in the forehead. And the first was the Pishon, and it encompassed the land of Havilah, which is Cush. And everyone know Cush mean Ethiopia, and down that way towards Nubia and Sudan area. And then the next is Deja Booty or Somaliland, and we know where that is, Somali. That's the Guyon, then the Pishon River, and comes from that. All that's in your book, and this is where they're finding the oldest fossils in the world. Now, Lucy was found in 1974, and she was found, this fossil was found by Dawn Johansson and Tom Gray. And the name of Lucy, I always tell you this because a record that was out from the Beatles at that time were called Lucy. And then it went even for a little bit further south to South Africa, where Louis Leakey and his wife, Mary Douglas Leakey, was working on. Now, they're Britain paleontologists, and they are paleontologists, and they discovered the first fossil of Proconsul. Now, Proconsul was an extinct monkey, skull. But it was an ape, but it featured had so many features of a human, and they said that was the closest monkey species to the human race. But they also found in O.D. Gorge what they call a robust xanthropus. When they talk about Zen and xanthropus, they're talking about black folk from Southeast Africa. And they found a skull in Old Deep Gorge around Tanzania in East Africa. You know, they found several archaeological and anthropological things that they found there. And they found that man was making tools and things 2.16 million years ago. They were able to make tools, which they didn't thought man was making tools and fire before them, but man have been doing that for many, many years. And that the way they know Lucy was human was because of her bipedal ability, meaning that she walked upright. And so many, there are many things that has to be explained, but they're taking the books that will explain these things out of libraries, but they're telling you it's about homosexuality. Excuse me, a little water. But they say it's be about teaching about, they don't want it because it's more than teaching about homosexuality. Myself, I don't hate anyone. And if I had a kid that was homosexual, I would not hate my child for being a homosexual. I would hate the things that they practice, and I wouldn't care for what they believe in. I would tell them I don't believe in homosexuality, but that is my child, and I would love them with every fiber in my body, but I would hate the lifestyle. But they're talking about that, and I just saw this on Facebook where the question was asked: a white female and a black female, could they change their color? And one thing they said said was they were born the color they were. No, they can't change it. And then they asked, well, you was born a female, can you change that? And the true answer is really no. You could, as a male, you could cut that off of a male, you could tuck it under, you could clip it, but you're still going to have X and Y chromosomes. Same thing, a woman could tie something around her waist or whatever she do with it, but she still is going to be a female. You can't change what God has done. If God put you here a male, you're a male. If he put you here a female, you're a female. But it's whatever your brain, we go with our brain, think we're who we are, and we want to relate that and make God accept what he created. In essence, you're telling God that, Lord, you made a mistake with me. But the Bible teaches that God created each one of us with free will, moral agent. You make your own decision whether you're going to follow him and accept his creation, what he has created you, or are you going to follow what your mind wants you to be, whatever you think is best for you? And I don't know about any of you guys, but I'm going to be who God want me to be. Now,
I've always bring this up because I want us to really, really know about this and be ready to ask any Caucasian, any Middle Eastern, or either people from China, Japan, no matter where they're from, they could be from Korea, no matter whether what Europe, part of Europe they're from, I'd ask them to, who is mitochondria Eve? And that mitochondria is mitochondria, mitochondria. Find out, do they know about your mitochondria? It comes from your maternal inheritance. Mitochondria within our cell and all human cells have a theoretical common ancestor. And this woman's name is called mitochondria, mitochondria, mitochondria Eve. And it is believed she would be about right at 200,000 years of age in South Africa. And it said that they know she wasn't the first human, but every other female lineage eventually had no female offspring and failed to pass on the mitochondria DNA. As a result, all, not some, now this is a black woman in South Africa, this, all humans today, our contemporary, all humans today can trace their mitochondria DNA back to her. And that's what they're saying, we can all trace where we come from one female. With her DNA and that of her peers exist, all the genetic variation we see in the contemporary world today, all the contemporary humans since 200,000 years ago carry her DNA. Different populations of humans have drifted apart genetically and formed distinct ethnic groups. And that we see today in China and all the rest, no matter where we go, we're going to find these people carry her DNA, no matter who you are. No matter if you're Caucasian, we may look different because Caucasians have been through a mutation of a DNA mutation where they lost their skin color. And we'll get to that later. I'll tell you what is the cause of the skin color. We're dealing with the mutation. But also was discovered about 2,300 years ago, well, really 315 years before Christ in Southern Africa. You know, the closest relative known to humanity known to the female ancestry of mitochondria Eve was a male. And he was noted as a fisherman along the coast of South Africa, and he is the closest genetic match to Eve. And they found his remains, a skeleton, in what you near what they call St. Helen Bay, and he was found by an archaeologist, and his name was Andrew Smith at the University of Cape Town. I want us to understand these things that we do, we have to understand that humanity in the first ancient human forms came from sub-Saharan Africa, the cradle of humanity. To have had all this DNA sequencing, we all find that all of us came from there. And it's important that we understand those things that we do. Do it, but that's something that Caucasian would hate to admit, that this is where they came from. They came from you. They are only a mutation of black person. And I understand that for years you've lied and told folk that we were inferior, African American were inferior, but all your scientists and all the other folk in the world today know that it's a lie, and it's being told that it's not the truth. Now, I did tell you guys that I was going to tell you about a mutation, you know, that identified an albinism gene, talking about being an albino. Now, you could find that in the genes of albinism. It's called SLC4582. It identifies and it mutated from SLC2485. That's your mutation, and the genes are albinism gene. And that's what whites have the same. The genes that they carry is the same gene that black guys that's albinos have. They all have a lack of melanin. And that's what that carries, a lack of melanin. The genes that the scientists are using to find the so-called white skin in Europe were called albino genes. And if you want to look it up, you look up https://sciencenordic. You could go at com/archaeological bronze in the Denmark history, and you'll find out that even in Denmark history, they'll show you a picture of the first person in Britain was a black male that was there. And there's things that they won't teach you because out of Africa, it took time before they went through what we call a mutation. They mutated into being who they are today. And who they are today with the albinism, as I spoke of earlier, to you concerning those things about being albino. Now, I want us to understand this, too, that we need to look up a man named Gregor Mendel, that's Gregor Mendel, Mendel, and he's called the father of genetics. He is the one who had talks about the gene from parents that passed down to offspring. Mendel found paired, and even talking about plants like peas and other things. And he talks about the different type seeds and peas that make up the dominant and recessive. But when Mendel got into Mendel's law, Mendel came up with the black and brown skin carry dominant gene, because this is original man. This is not a mutation. This is the pure being. That brown eyes is dominant. If you pay close attention, the majority of the world, or about 7/8 of the world, carry brown eyes. Just a very few have blue eyes. Now, I want you to understand this. Then he said light skin come from recessive gene. They say blue eyes come from a recessive gene. Now, I want you to understand what I'm about to tell you. The word recess means something that's lower. Dominant means superior. And so, in essence, what the father of genetics are saying is black folk carry dominant gene and white folk carry a recessive gene, meaning a lower form. And it's important that we understand these things. That I'm saying, not for you to think that you, those who are African-American, listen, that you're any better than anyone else, but you're not below anyone else either, but you do carry dominant genes because the original man was black. And that's proven because out of Africa occurred 70,000 years ago. But I want us to understand this, too. You could take two of the blackest individuals in the world, look like midnight, and they could have an albino child. Two dark people could have a brown-skinned child, and it could be their child. See, you get every color from those two black individuals procreating together. But you could get albino, like a white child, from two of the darkest people in the world. But you can't take two Caucasians and make a black person because they cannot make the original man. Now, I want us to look at something. There's some things I want you to look up. It's called https://sciencenordic YouTube/2CZEMZHOPG1. And what it is, it talks about the hidden DNA discovered and found only in Black Africa. Now, it was 15 white scientists who came together in 1996, and they copyrighted, they didn't publish it, because they were writing these 15 scientists that were writing these things were going to write a book about sequence and series DNA. Sequence will tell you where you're from, but series will tell how smart you are. And the World DNA Strand, they came up, it's called American Association for the Advancement of Science, a DNA series gene. And it's by Dr. Edward Robinson. And what he did a study to find out about who's the closest to being genius and who is a genius. How, and then what they came up with was that how to measure the intelligence level. And they did it by series. Now, sequences would tell me that I'm from Ghana, I'm from Nigeria, I'm from Cameroon, and different things like that, different things like that. But series would tell me my ability to comprehend and to learn. And they said the higher your series in your DNA, the more closer you are to be a genius. And after reading that, reading it and getting an understanding of it, I read about what these 15 scientists wrote and copied, and they didn't make the book because they're trying to hide it from African Americans. But it's there. You can look it up. I gave you how to look it up. And what they did, they tested animals that were closest to humans, and they first went to the orangutan. Remember, the higher the series, the more intelligent that person could be, or animal ear. And the orangutan had three series, but when they went to the big silverback, the big gorillas, they were even smarter than the orangutan. They had four series. And they went on after they tested gorilla, they said the closest relative to mankind today is a chimpanzee. And they were correct. That chimpanzee had five series. And then to show you that man, God did make man special, he created man, and when they test man, man came up with six series. And all over the world he went, but he didn't go to Africa. He went all around the world, all these Asian countries, all the countries he went to, Canada, Mexico. He went to all of them, and he took that series, dealing with a series, and when he took dealing with a series, he found out that all of them were above animals. They were above the four of the orangutan. They were above, the three of the orangutan. They was above the four of the gorilla. They were above the five of the chimp. But one thing that these 15 white scientists forgot to do was to test Africa, because they've been taught all their life that Africans are dumb and different things they have to do. But when they went and test West Africa, which most of the slave trade, the people came from West Africa, when they were to test there, they came up with nine series, meaning that they were more intelligent than any other person on planet Earth. And I want you to see, if you look it up, it would be global patterns of disequilibrium. Global patterns of disequilibrium. DISEQUILLEBIUM. Equilibrium. You can find that under that. Because I want you to understand these things, that And especially if we have young kids listening, you are that man. You're very smart. You're very intelligent. You're no G. You're no gangster. You haven't, you don't need to be going to prison, and you don't have all this mess that's going on, and it hurts my feelings. On last night, we had the privilege of having one of my ex-students who was married to one her first husband, her husband, rather, she hadn't been married twice, but her husband father was killed when the Klan came and burned the house down, and they had a shootout, and he died of his burns that were related to that. And when I think of when she was telling us about it, I thought about Martin Luther King. I thought about Malcolm X. I thought about Medgar Evers. And I thought about all these people who died for a cause. I thought about the lady whose breast was bit off. I thought about the dogs and the hose, the people hose with water. I thought about all the things that people went through just to vote and just to try to fight for human rights. I thought about all those things. And when it came up to it, after thinking about it, I thought about how kids are killing one another at alarming rate. I thought about the failures that we have with our children. They don't have any love for one another. I remember giving the DAP, we used to call it DAP, and you love your brother and you're going to stand up and fight for what's right. Now there's so much hatred that permeates throughout the African-American community, all these little gang and gangsters and rap music and all these things. Now, there's nothing wrong with making music, but when the music lead to killing, something is wrong with us, church. And I mean, not church, but those who are listening, because we have people that may be agnostic or atheist or whatever that's listening. But I want you to understand that something is wrong when you could go around and take another human life and not know that you are the one, that you're not a dumb person, that you've just been told that you're dumb. You're not dumb. Because let me tell you something. I want you to understand. If you're the dumb person, fiber optic, that all these computers and all this fast, that thing that we do with our computers and how fast they operate, all of that come through fiber optic wire. Then that was invented by a black person. The GPS was invented by a black person. The cell phone was invented by a black person. The typewriter, the gas mask, the safety goggles, the elevator, clothes dryer, the air conditioning unit, Almanac, blood plasma bag, lawnmower, lube cup, refrigerator, spark plug, stethoscope, thermostat control, traffic light, the electric bulb, and it goes on and on. I didn't give you all of them, but it goes on and on that you were responsible for, but it's not being taught in school. It's not being taught in school. So if it's not being taught in school, it's not so. And they are having this thing now where they're not allowing us to teach certain things in school because it stands against everything that they have taught their children. It have stand against everything that would have been taught their children. They've taught their children that Christopher Columbus discovered America. And at the boot of all of that, we even have a day set aside, Columbus Day. We have Columbus Day set aside to celebrate when he discovered America, not knowing that this man never set foot in the colonial colony that was there, the 13 original colonies that came about, or the continental United States. And if you want to really know what color the real Hebrew or Israelites were, I want you just to use, I'm going to say Gamal, G-A-M, write this down, G-A-M-A-L, Gamal Abdal, Gamal, G-A-M-A-L, Abdal, A-B-D-E-L, Abdel, Nasser, N-A-S-S-E-R, Gamal Abdal Nasser, his speech in 1958. Google it, and then you say it says that they left black and came back white. And he was actually speaking the truth that the so-called Jews that coveted so much are actually converts of the 18th and 19th century. That means 900 years after the death of Christ or 800 years after the death of Christ. These are not the people of the Torah. And thusly, their Talmud tells them never to call themselves Israelites. As in the original Hebronic people, the children of Hebrew, only a small number of Hebrew, and that's where that Hebrew come from, the children of Hebrew. But now look, the children of Hebrew will come from Nimrod, the children of Hebrew. Only a small number of Hebrews were actually on the particular land, and that Jerusalem were not the first, wasn't the first built place for them, but they were significantly in a certain creation of a subsequent religion such as Catholics. Now, that's where this come from when they went to Rome, the Catholics, the Christianity. The truth is the Hebrews that built up this area, meaning the Holy Land, were captured Hebrews of the Assyrian embarked on to get the Hebrew were more than just a skip, hop, and a jump. They had to come a long ways to get them from Ur, the Chaldees, and from Assyria, round in that region of the world. You know, it's a lot that we've been taught that's been so backwards about the belief that you have as being a Christian and things like that. And Judaism is one of the oldest monotheistic religions, which date back to thousands of years, and it is fundamentally a belief rooted in the faith that encompasses core and religious aspects. It is practical by all, it is practiced by what they call all Jews and diverse group of people who share a common religious and cultural heritage. The central tenet of Judaism revolves around the belief in a single God, and its religious practices is anchored in the sacred text of the Torah. Judaism encompasses not only religious aspect, but also a distinct practice of identity. It induced tradition, customs, art, literature, and a deep sense of historical continuity. Jewish culture has a rich tapestry of music, literature, cuisine that involved often, you know, has evolved over centuries. But now when you get to dealing with it, you'll find out that those who say that they're Jews, a whole lot of them are converts. I'm going to think next week, because we're getting close to coming to the end of this, that we're going to talk about, we're going to let some of the students come on next week. We'll talk about that, about the different children of Israel and what color they were. And I'm going to have some really proof-worthy things to show you and things like that. And you'll find out just what I mean by that. You know, the Sumerian was Semitic, and that the color of their skin was charcoal, and they had short snoot noses. And if you can look that up for yourself, it's time that we look. And I want us just to look up that word limba, L-E-M-B-A. It's time we look up different things and study about it. Now, my time has grown short, and I know I have my students around and ready to go and to bring y'all some great information about Black history. They've been taking Black history this month, and they've been able to share. And I've even told them, after they finish their course, if they come up with anything that they would like to share with the public, they're welcome to continue and sharing with myself and Pastor Williams as we go forward to share the word of God, but also to build our people to have greater and higher self-esteem and to learn to love one another. But at the same time, that we want to be able to spread Christian love and the love of God that it may permeate throughout all the world. Amen. I'm now going to ask Pastor William, would he open up the lines to those who would like to share?
God bless you, Dr. Kemp. Powerful, powerful teaching tonight. I pray that everyone was open to absorb and inherit the words from the Lord used by this powerful man of God. So good evening, everyone. I want to say good evening to all of the students to the United Theological Seminary and Bible College in Baton Rouge. I'm going to open up the lines, like for our sisters to go first, then our brothers, that's our students, and then everyone else on the line. After the students are done, you're invited to give your questions or feedback to Dr. Kemp. Good evening and welcome to Break a Chains History Talk to UTS. God bless you and good evening. You're live on the air.
Good evening, everyone. I am a student of United Theological Bible Seminary, and I am coming from, I'm going to read to you tonight, the free Negroes or free people of color. Free Negroes and free people of color refers to those African Americans who were free before the Civil War, and hence were not freed by the Emancipation Proclamation or the 13th Amendment. Often such free Negroes were either mixed race, relatives, or descendants of white masters, and might possess money, property, or position because of such religion. And that's all I have for tonight. And it says free Negroes are free people of color.
Powerful. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Can we, Dr. Kemp, if you don't mind, can I ask everyone that's on the line, can you, all of the mics are live, can you keep your phones muted on your side until you're ready to speak? The lines are open on my end, but can you keep your phones muted until you're ready to speak to respect everyone that's speaking? Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Evangelist Marva Coleman, a student at UTS. Good evening to you, Reverend Williams and Dr. Kemp. I'm also a student, and I had to talk a little, to talk about a little history talk concerning buying power movement, the buying power movement. And it was, the movement was the consumer movement consists of individuals and organizations that advocated for the rights and welfare of consumers, especially when those rights are violated by corporations and government. And during the early 1930s, African Americans began using their economic and political power. The buying power movement began in Chicago, and they used picketing and boycotts to force white employees, especially those with a large black clientele, to employ blacks in their businesses. In New York City, Adam Clayton Powell Jr., a future congressman, led a four-year effort that added 10,000 black workers to the telephone company, the light company, the bus company, dime stores, department stores, and in 1939, the World's Fair. Organizations employing similar tactics came up in other cities around the country. And this was done concerning the buying power movement. And also, Adam Clayton Powell, the first African-American to be elected to Congress from New York, as well as the first from any state in the Northeast. He was reelected for nearly three decades. Powell became a powerful national political of the Democratic Party and served as a national spokesman on civil rights and social issues. And that's what I talked about, a little talk on history concerning the buying power movement. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Well, good evening.
Yes.
Go ahead. All right. Good evening, everyone. To my pastor, to the Reverend, to all my brothers and sisters, and to the listeners, I thank you. My name is Thomas Robinson. I'm also a student at TSU, and this evening I'll be sharing with you the black history on Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington, born in Franklin County, Virginia, in 1856. He was born into slavery. And after the Civil War of 1816, he was freed at the age of nine. He later moved on to Virginia, where he went on at the age of 16 to walk 500 miles from a journey to the state of Virginia to go to school. He's going to school at Hampton Institute, where he graduated at the age of 16 with honors. Later, 1881, Booker T. Washington became president of the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, an historical black college institute. The school was for the training of black teachers. In 1901, Booker T. Washington was formally invited to the White House by President Theodore Roosevelt, making him the first Afro-American to be invited to the White House. Washington's speech in the Atlanta Expo in 1895 made him a national figure, known all around the world. Washington was an author, a speaker, an entrepreneur, a business owner, a counselor to president. Died at the age of 19, November 14, 1915, at the age of 59, he was buried at the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama. In his life, one of his sayings that I'd like to share with you goes like this. Success is not measured, not so much by the position one has reached in life, as by the obstacle one has overcome. I'd like to thank you, brothers and sisters, for listening this evening and allowing me to share with you black history. Thank you. I'm finished, brother.
Thank you, and God bless you. Do we have another person on the line that would like to share with us tonight?
Yes, good evening. This is Brother Battle. Good evening to Dr. Kemp, Dr. Williams. To our fellow students, UTS students, body, and all the listening audience, we just want to thank God for this opportunity on tonight. I want to just talk about Negro spirituals coming from our Black History Studies. I just want to just read this little thing. I won't take up much time because I know we got others wanting to get on. It says, for generations prior to the Civil War, African Americans had sung songs based on religious hymns, some of which were the English Wesleyan hymns. These sorrow songs, as they were called by W.E.B. Du Bois, were sung in a distinctive style that was different from the standard phrasing and emphasis of the English renditions, European and religious in origin. These songs were distinctively African American, and in style and the choices of certain songs by the slaves made them into plaintive commentary on the slave system. Moreover, some songs like Look Down That Long, Lonesome Road, Run Old Jeremiah, Do Lord Remember Me, House Down Built Without Hands, and other songs like Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, and Still Away, they possessed a double meaning, the possibility of escaping to freedom on earth as well as the promised land in heaven. These songs first gained national attention during the Civil War when they were commented on by Thomas Wentworth Higginson in his articles on his service with a black regiment. And in 1867, when William Allen Charles Ware and Lucy McKim Garrison published the first collection of the songs entitled Slave Songs of the United States. Then in 1916, Henry T. Burlow, an African-American singer and arranger, published the first arrangement of spiritual for solo voice and piano when he arranged Deep River with additional arrangements of Weeping Mary, You May Bury Me in the East, and others in 1917, a new period for concert performance of spirituals began. And I just wanted to just give y'all a snippet on how Negro spirituals back then and even today play a major part in our relationship with God. I mean, in our struggle in this life. And I just want to thank God for our forefathers that even in the midst of their suffering and their pain, they found a way to connect with God. Even in them fields, they sung songs to get them through the day, and to even those songs were used to initiate plans to be free, not just going to heaven, but freedom from slavery. And I just want to just share that with you guys. Thank you.
Is there anyone else on the line that would like to share?
Good evening. How you all doing? Pastor Williams, Dr. Kemp, all the listeners, the classmates, Frederick Ferry, student, UTS, Bible class. Now I wanted to talk about post-Civil War engagements and policies restrained by segregated, because the Army wished to demobilize white troops as soon as possible and yet retain an effective fighting force after the Civil War. Black troops were retained in the Army after the war. About 1,200 black troops in the U.S. Army as of June 1865 comprised 13% of the total, the largest percent of blacks in the Army in U.S. history. Congress gave officials recognition to its continued need for the African American soldiers to pass in March 1866. A law created six exclusive African-American regiments, four entries, the 38th, the 39th, the 40th, and the 41st, two cavalries, the 9th and the 10th cavalry. Although the infantry regiments were reduced to two, the 24th and the 25th, in 1969, these all-black regiments proved that the African-American soldiers had a right to serve in the United States Army. But congressional action also gave a legal basis a segregated army and made more difficult the effort to desegregate the army in the future. Well, the arrangements and policies after that, things that went on after that, the first three things, the post-war amendments accomplished the most racial and rapid social and political changes in American history. The first one is the abolishment of slavery was the 13th Amendment. Granted equal citizenship with the 14th Amendment, and the voting rights for the former slaves, 15th Amendment. Well, that was just all, and I hate to say it like that, it was all just talk to put on the show. They really used this for more putting us at the front line for defense to see where the enemies was, to retaliate. But some of the northern states, some black soldiers, like those in the first Rhode Island, went on to live new lives as free men. The first Rhode Island was just a cavalry that they named. That I found. One favorable African American hero was Sam Poor, due to his strength and his stability at the Battle of Bunker Hill. A woman named Deborah Sampson, when she disguised herself as a man and joined the Patriot Force, she earned a full military pension for participating in the Revolutionary War, in the Revolutionary Army. some of the southern states across the South prohibited blacks from handling weapons, compared to those who had not served. Former black soldiers were assaulted. They were driven away from their homes. In most extreme cases, they was lynched. And some of the other people that were so-called freed, they just went back to the plantation owner and started contracting working for them, working in the fields. And the women, they went working in the house, cooking and being the housewife. So we thought we was gaining a step, but we went back two more steps. Thank you for allowing me to share what I had for the day. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. Do we have any other students you would like to share?
Yes, sir. Good evening, Dr. Kemp. This is Minister Tramell Auburn. I just want to take time out to share a little bit with you guys. I am a student of UTS, and good evening to my siblings from UTS as well. Good evening to you, Reverend Williams, and just want to take time out and give the acknowledgement to Dr. Kemp and Dr. Hillard and Reverend August and Minister Jimmy, in their absence and everything, as well as my pastor, Dr. Terry Michael Hastings. I want to take time out and read a little bit to give a little knowledge. I was studying and reading up on this particular name, and it's Wendell Phillips. Wendell Phillips was a wealthy Bostonian who dedicated himself to lecturing not only on the Garristorian abolitionists, but also on the evils of industrial capitalism and exploitation of labor in America. This person was like Sojourner Truth as well. He was regarded as one of the greatest orators of the 19th century. Now, this is something that took place after the murder of Elijah Lovejoy, and meeting was called at Faneuil Hall, Boston, on March 26th, 1837, to discuss Lovejoy's death. James T. Austin, the Attorney General of Massachusetts, referred to Lovejoy's murder as a revolutionary era of patriot and almost swaying the audience. But Phillips, the same Phillips we're talking about, Wendell Phillips, answered the outrageous comparison with the withering verbal speech that sealed his reputation as a first-class anti-slavery speaker. Phillips supported Garrison's demand that women be allowed the same rights in America anti-slavery society. He became increasingly militant in the 1840s and 1850s, vigorously opposing the Mexican War, the separation of the North from the South, and the slowness of Lincoln in freeing the slaves. After the Civil War, he became the advocate of a variety and different reforms, from American Indian rights to women voting, and increasingly oppositions of labor to the rise of moneyed corporations. I just want to take time out and share that with you, and that's another one we can put in our, that's another nugget that we can put in there, and also give honor to whom honor is due. And I thank y'all for the time and opportunity to be able to speak, and we're going to carry on and just continue to listen. Thank y'all for your time.
Well, thank you for sharing with us, and God bless you. I just want to say that I think that should be all about UTS students, and I think you did a wonderful job in sharing. There were a lot of battles that was fought during that blacks fought in during the Civil War, and I know several was right here in Louisiana where I live. One not far at all, you know, we had the Battle of Baton Rouge that was fought here, and it would be along Park Boulevard, and they have a marker there, but also that one in Port Hudson where the African Americans and former slaves in the first and the third Louisiana National Guard launched a valiant attack against the Confederate Army. Even though the Confederate stronghold at Port Hudson did not fall until 2 months later, the courage and heroism of these soldiers was widely reported. In other words, they fought tooth and nail and held their own with trained soldiers. Also, in June 7, 1863, approximately 1,000 African-American soldiers repulsed an assault by the Confederate Army at Milligan Bend. That's a Louisiana General Ulysses Bend, Louisiana. That's where Milligan Bend is. General Ulysses F. Grant had withdrawn troops from the garrison at Milligan Bend to support an attack in Vicksburg, Mississippi. Brigadier General Dennis, who was in command of the troops in Milligan Bend, was surprised when the Confederate forces of 3,000 attacked the garrison. When the Confederates mounted the works, black soldiers fought viciously, hand-to-hand combat with Confederate regulars. After white Union soldiers had abandoned the battlefield, by the end of the day, the black troops repulsed the Confederate forces and won the respect of Grant to hold on to the fort at Milligan Bend. In other words, there were different battles that were fought, you know, and it was very gallantly that they did. And it talks about how they fought at at Port Hudson. They have the battlefield at right now today, you know, and, you know, believe, you know, and then I always hear about that, about Port Hudson and Milligan Bend. A belief linger in that the North, that African-American were not fit for the most dangerous, courageous mission of the Civil War. It was that prejudice in the mind of Lieutenant Colonel Robert Valentin, an all-black 54th, that's Massachusetts Volunteer Infantry, to lead the largely suicidal assault on South Carolina, Fort Wagner. Now listen to what they did. They had to lead the frontal assault on Fort Wagner in July 18, 1863. Highly publicized, this attack on the heavily fortified symbol of Confederate resistance might have succeeded if white troops had reinforced the 54th heroic assault after advancing across the open beach side of the fort, during which they suffered many casualties, including the colonel, the 54th Massachusetts, believed briefly took the fort before being repulsed by the Confederates. Still, the 54th indisputable courage convinced many Northerners that black soldiers were capable of fighting. Now, I really don't believe they didn't know that. I know they knew that black soldiers would fight. But during the fact that the black soldiers didn't have, black folk didn't have guns, that they figured it that way. And I think we might have discussed about, and some of the students know about, what they call a devil's punch bowl in, that's located in Mississippi, right there in Natchez, Mississippi, where after the Civil War and during Reconstruction, that black folk left from different parts of Mississippi. And being that Natchez was a port city, and it was a large city back then for Mississippi, a lot of black slaves, thousands and thousands, poured into the city. Well, they put them down in this little gully or ravine-like, and they wired them in, and they starved them and killed them off, and it's called the Devil's Punch Bowl. If anybody ever want to look it up, it's called the Devil's Punch Bowl, and you can learn just how horrible Caucasians have really been to African Americans. And I really, really appreciate it. And again, to our students, I love you guys, and continue studying and teach others that which you are getting and that which you know and that which you hear from this podcast. And we thank Pastor William for having such a great program that we can learn from ourselves and others, because I'm a firm believer that iron sharpens iron, that each and every one that shared tonight taught someone something about black history. Amen. God bless you. Pastor William, do you have something you'd like to say before we pray our way out?
I would like to just say thank you to everyone, all the students, and to you, Dr. Kim. Powerful show. I just pray that people are starting to listen and know their history, and so they can get back to their identity. Because a lot of people don't know their identity. They don't know who they are, so they're trying to find themselves. And we pray that they find the life of Christ and tune in to who they are and whose they are. So thank everybody. Don't forget, the podcast is on every night. Tune in any night you want, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And you can support the ministry at any time. You can mail in your check money orders, or you can cash app us at $YATLIVE. Go on the website, check us out, take a listen to all the, you know, the old shows, and start learning and find out who you are. God bless you. Thank you. Love you all.
God bless you.
Amen. We're going to ask, as usual, one of the students to pray us out.
For what we have heard, Father God, and what we have felt, we thank you, Father God, for this podcast and for the knowledge, Lord. We ask that you continue to bless Reverend Williams and Dr. Kemp, Father God. And we ask, Lord God, that we get the message to our children and our children's children to know the importance of who they are. We thank you, Lord God, for the history talk, Father God. on our race. We give you glory, and we give you honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. One thing I'd like to say to you, I love each and every one, black, white, rich or poor, and there's never nothing you could do about it. Much love and good night.
Oh, my people, I love you. We're a family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make through it all. No matter what the cost, we're a family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through the pain, the rain, and all the trouble by ourselves. Oh, 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 my people, I love you.
I love you.
We are dying.
We are dying.
They are lying. Hey. We're being shot and haunted. Why you hating me? I'm just trying to be.
I'm just trying to be.
Great as I can be.
Great as I can be.
Grow with one another, living happily.
Living happily.
But you hurting me.
Yeah. You
hurting me. Why not work for peace?
Why not work for peace?
I am from Zion. I am a king. And you're a queen. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me. Yeah. Suffering by ourselves. Oh, 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 oh. My people, I love you.
I love you. Oh, oh.
Why are we hurting?
Why are we hurting?
Not yet loving.
Not yet loving.
Not yet willing.
Why
to love to all? Oh. Can you feel the grace, family? Another day,
another day.
Take for granted that y'all gave us all new life. But we need to learn to love each other.
Humanity.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful
place for kids to run. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through it all.
People, I love you.
My people, I love. I love you, my people. I love you, my people.
My people, I love.
I feel your pain, people. I feel your pain, people. We're family.
Wow, wow.
Yeah, you and me. Hey. We'll make it through the pain, the rain, and all the suffering. Why I say, oh,
listening to History Talk on Breaking Chains with Dr. Lavert Kemp. Thank you for listening and tune in next week to learn more of who you are. Breaking Chains History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp.
It's History Talk. Yeah, History Talk.
Leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Sponsored by the United Theological Seminary and Bible College, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the Truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.